On June 22, 2015, the United States Supreme Court decided a case in which the court held in a 5-4 decision that the fundamental right to marry is guaranteed to same-sex couples by both the Due Process Clause and the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment of the United States Constitution. Justice John Roberts criticized the majority opinion for relying on moral convictions rather than a constitutional basis, and for expanding fundamental rights without caution or regard for history. Roberts chided the majority for overriding the democratic process and for using the judiciary in a way that was not originally intended. Justice Clarence Thomas rejected the principle of substantive due process, which he claimed invites judges to do exactly what the majority has done here. Roam at large in the constitutional field, guided only by their personal views as to the fundamental rights protected by that document. In doing so, the judiciary strays from the Constitution's text, subverts the democratic process, and exalts judges at the expense of the people from whom they derive their authority. Justice Samuel Alito expressed concern that the majority's opinion would be used to attack the beliefs of those who disagree with same-sex marriage, who will risk being labeled as bigots and treated as such by governments, employers, and schools, leading to bitter and lasting wounds. Alito concluded most Americans understandably will cheer or lament today's decision because of their views on the issue of same-sex marriage, but all Americans, whatever their thinking on the issue, should worry about the majority's claim of power portends. This was the case decided, like I said, on June 26th of this year. And basically the Supreme Court said, because of the Equal Protection Clause, which the Equal Protection Clause is a very simple clause that was passed as part of the 14th Amendment, which gave slaves, recognized them as citizens, and said that all laws must be treated fairly. You can't have a set of laws for one person and a set of laws for another person. That the Equal Protection Clause says that all people must be treated equally. And so they decided that because all people must be treated equally, that because heterosexual people can marry, then homosexual people should be able to as well. Doesn't take too much to poke holes in that argument. And you can see why a lot of the other justices said what they said. But they did decide that. And after that, many gay couples immediately went out and to get licenses to get married. And in many cases, they were issued marriage licenses. One of the places they were not was in Rowan County, Kentucky. In Kentucky, when a marriage license is sold, it has the name of the county clerk on the license. And in Rowan County, the clerk's name is Kim Davis. And Kim Davis is a Christian. And she does not agree with homosexual marriage, and so she stopped issuing marriage licenses altogether. Immediately, she was taken to court, and a judge issued an order for her to start issuing marriage licenses even before her case was heard. She refused, and later the judge threw her in jail for contempt of court. Today, many farmers are bringing in the harvest of this year's crop. Over the next month, they'll bring in the fruits of their labor. And our country is also experiencing a harvest. It's a harvest of lawlessness. And this harvest is a result of moral relativism and, more importantly, complacency by the church. So what does the Bible have to say on the issue of homosexuality? Well, it's pretty clear. Homosexuality is a horrible sin. Leviticus 18:22 says, "You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination." Leviticus 20:13 says, "If a man lies with a male as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death, and their blood shall be upon them." You might say, well, that's the Old Testament. in the New Testament, God is a God of grace. Well, that is true. But he was also a God of grace in the Old Testament. But the reality is, he takes the sin of homosexuality very seriously. In Romans chapter 1, Paul writes, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." You see, God has revealed to all men through nature that he exists, that he is powerful, etc., etc. There's many things that we know just from looking out into the world about God. Man knows about God. And instead of worshiping God, men decided to worship many of the things that God created. They suppressed the truth of God and darkened their understanding. And so God gave them over to follow the lusts of their flesh. Paul continues in Romans 1:26, "For this reason God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one for another, men with men committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, to do these things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them." We see that man has rejected God and is now chasing every evil imagination of their heart, but that wasn't enough. Not only does man want free rein to pursue his lusts, but he also wants everyone else doing the same. He doesn't want to be told that what he is doing is wrong. So how do we as Christians respond to this? The Bible says, like every other person, we must try to reach homosexuals with the message of the gospel. 1 Timothy 1, 8 through 11 says, "But we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for righteous persons or people, but for the lawless and insubordinate, for the ungodly and for sinners, for the whole unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for fornicators, for sodomites or homosexuals, for kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers, if there is any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust." You see, we have a duty to go out and reach the people who are in violation of God's law. And we reach them with the gospel, which has been committed and entrusted to us. Paul says in 1 Timothy 1, 5 through 7, "Now the purpose of the commandment is love, from a pure heart, from a good conscience, from a sincere faith, from which some, having strayed, have turned aside to idle talk, desiring to be teachers of the law, and understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. You see, many people in the Christian community have decided to accept homosexuality, to embrace it, in order to express the love of God. This is a grave mistake. This only leads to confusion, because they're not teaching the individual a sincere faith and a good conscience. They're merely trying to cover up what God has said is wrong. Instead, we must lovingly speak the truth. And the truth is that homosexuality is wrong, and we must not pretend otherwise. Kim Davis made a stand, and that stand put her in jail. She said, "I will not certify that which is wrong." But what was her crime? Why did she go to jail? What was she convicted of? She broke no law. She didn't break a single law. The Supreme Court decided that homosexual marriages are granted to all people everywhere within the United States. But Supreme Court decisions are not law. Article 1, Section 1 of the U.S. Constitution says, "All legislative powers herein granted shall be vested in a Congress of the United States, which shall consist of a Senate and House of Representatives." I ask you, if all legislative power is given to Congress, how much legislative power is left over for the Supreme Court? None. Zero. Nada. And there was no law, no federal law that changed the definition of marriage. So if she didn't break federal law, maybe she broke a state law. Well, the Kentucky's Constitution, which she swore an oath to uphold, defines marriage as a union between a man and a woman. In 2004, Kentucky voters overwhelmingly passed an amendment to their constitution that legally defined marriage as a union between what marriage was. And these voters that overwhelmingly passed this amendment also elected her to the office, and she swore an oath to obey that constitution. So why was she in jail? Simply this. A judge decided without due process that he wanted her to issue these marriage certificates. And she said no. And so he put her in jail. Remember what Justice Samuel Alito said, that the majority's opinion would be used to attack the beliefs of those who disagree with same-sex marriage and who will risk being labeled as bigots and treated as such by governments, employers, and schools, leading to bitter and lasting wounds. The judge in this case acted unconstitutionally, acted lawlessly. The Supreme Court acted lawlessly. They've now decided that whatever agenda they want to push, they will find their answer in the Constitution. The Constitution says, the 10th Amendment, if there's not any powers given to the federal government, it is reserved to the states and to the people. The Constitution does not give the power to define marriage to the federal government. They have went beyond. And like I said, we in America are experiencing a harvest of lawlessness. So what should we do? What do we do now? The first question I ask is, what would you have done? What would you have done if you were in Kim Davis's position? Some people say, you know what? It's good that she wants to stand for her beliefs, but she should get another position in government where she can do her job well, but she doesn't have to issue these certificates. You know, I say that's a horrible idea. Just think, if one of your sons or daughters was being persecuted by their own government, and somebody came to you and said, you know, I'm supposed to be the one persecuting your son or daughter, and I feel it's wrong. So I'm just going to step out of the way and let somebody else do it. Would you hold that person in high regard and say, wow, that takes a lot of sacrifice. It takes a lot of wherewithal. No, we need people that will stand in the gap, that will stand up for what is right and say, not on my watch. Not on my watch. What would you have done? Kim Davis released a statement in which she said, in addition to my desire to serve the people of Rowan County, I owe my life to Jesus Christ, who loves me and gave his life for me. Following the death of my godly mother-in-law for over 4 years ago, I went to church to fulfill her dying wish. There I heard a message of grace and forgiveness and surrendered my life to Jesus Christ. I am not perfect. No one is. But I am forgiven, and I love my Lord, and must be obedient to Him and to the Word of God. I never imagined a day like this would come, where I would be asked to violate a central teaching of Scripture and of Jesus Himself regarding marriage. To issue a marriage license which conflicts with God's definition of marriage, with my name affixed to the certificate, would violate my conscience. It is not a light issue for me. It is a heaven or hell decision. For me, it is the decision of obedience. I have no animosity toward anyone and harbor no ill will. To me, this has never been a gay or lesbian issue. It is about marriage and God's Word. It is a matter of obedience to the Creator of the universe. Are you willing to go to jail to be obedient to God? What can you do? What can you do now? What can you do today? There's three things you can do. One, ask the Holy Spirit to give you courage to stand for what is right. Because you will need the Holy Spirit's guidance and direction. Two, we must demonstrate courage by sharing the gospel with all people. Whether they be anyone on that list of sins that have rejected God, we must share the gospel. We must demonstrate our courage by giving people the good news. And third, we must repent for being politically complacent. The reality is, these judges are here because we have been asleep at the wheel. We have elected people who have no disregard or have no regard for God's law. We have elected judges, and legislators, senators, House of Representatives, or representatives. Do you know what the people who you're voting for believe? We have been complacent. And as a result, the people who are in power are disregarding God's law, and now they are going to be starting to persecute us. We must spend time learning about the proper role of government and the character of the people running for office so that we can be led by godly people. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we know that you love every single one in this world. It's why you gave your son to die for them. But Lord, we also know that because you created this world and because you made the rules about what's best for us and what's not, Lord, you know us better than anyone else, that we must be obedient to your law. Lord, sometimes that doesn't make a lot of sense, why you make certain things wrong and why you don't make certain things wrong. But Lord, you're the Creator, and we are the creation. And Lord, we need to be in obedience to your Word. Lord, give us courage to stand for you. Lord, you stood for us on that cross. You didn't have to be there, but you gave your life for us. Lord, that we would be willing to give our lives to be obedient to you. I pray this. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.